Hello, everyone. Welcome to Radio KAL Live, brought to you by SupermanHomepage.com, the number one Superman fan site in the world. My name is Steve Yunus. In this, our December 19th, 2017 show, our final show for 2017, we're going to be covering a range of topics, including Superman the movie being added to the National Film Registry. We're going to be talking Action Comics 993, and the DC Comics solicitations for March 2018. But we'll also be opening the lines to take your questions and comments on any particular Superman topic you would like to discuss. And to let you know how all that works and how you can get involved in today's show, let me introduce you to the first of my co-hosts, Michael Bailey. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Steve. Now, obviously, the live listeners have gone to www.supermanhomepage.com/live. because they're listening to the show. There they will find a phone number, which is 714-242-6186. That's 714-242-6186. There, about halfway through the episode, they will be warmly greeted by me, and then eventually talking to both Steve and Scotty and the whole bunch of listeners and I. Now, since this is 2017, at least for a couple more weeks, and we're beaming this live across the internet, and therefore around the planet Houston, you can call in via Skype. And to do that, you can use the little Skype icon with my dogs barking at the supermanhomepage.com/live page to call and be on the show.
Yes, and don't forget, as always, there is a flash chat room attached to the bottom of the live listening page you're on right now. So we invite our live listeners to join in there and chat with fellow listeners. As the show goes on, we will keep an eye on that chat room to react to your comments and questions. But we'd like to hear from you in person, so don't be shy. Get on the phone or call through Skype, as Michael has just explained, and let's have a chat. And a huge thank you to our sponsors and patrons, Tina Murray, Patrick O'Neill, and Stephen Wright. Now, as I mentioned at the top of the show, we have a third co-host tonight, and that is Scotty V. Welcome, Scotty.
Hello, Steve and Michael, and hello everyone else who's listening. It sounds like your dog is excited about the show, Michael.
Oh, they're always excited about every random noise that passes by our house, so yes.
Well, there you go. Well, it's, as I said, the final show for 2017. It's not the last Tuesday of the month, as normally we do get Scotty on that time, but... last Tuesday of the month will actually be Boxing Day next week, the day after Christmas. So we are bringing it forward 1 week, and this is our final show for 2017. We're going to be taking a couple of weeks break over the holiday season, and it's been one hell of a year. It's just amazing how the time has flown. 2017 is almost at the end. And just looking back, guys, just in general, as a Superman fan, Michael, you first. What's... for you has been the most impressive thing from the Superman point of view for 2017?
I honestly think it's the comics. We had a solid year for me and for like-minded people of Action Comics and Superman just constantly knocking it out of the park. We had the big Superman Reborn storyline, which led into the Mr. Oz storyline, which is now leading into a brief thing with Booster Gold. And it's just been, for me, just an embarrassment of riches of Superman everywhere. I don't think there was, you know, despite not liking, you know, the odd episode here and there, I've enjoyed Supergirl both at the end of the second season and the beginning of the third. I really enjoyed his appearances in Justice League. So it's just, this is like the first year in a long time where I just end the year with the, without thinking, wow, you know, if it wasn't for that one thing, it would be a great year. But no, I think it's one of the best Superman years in well over a decade.
Scotty.
Wow. Rants and raves and excitement all around. I am not reading the comics, as I have said. They turned me off quite some time ago, but hopefully I'll at some point feel an impetus to get back involved. I will say that Do You Bleed was my favorite part of Superman this year. I think it was something Batman deserved. I think it was what he got, and I appreciated it. But then it went downhill from there when he started joking about what was bleeding inside and rolling on the floor and everything else. But that was enjoyable to see. I enjoyed seeing him come back from death, which even though I guess everybody assumed he wasn't going to stay dead, it was nice to have him back and to see him. You know, I enjoyed some of the smiles and the race with Flash and things like that. And, of course, as Michael said, Supergirl, I think, is just really an emotional hit every time.
Yeah, it's been an interesting year from a comic book stand. I think I agree with you, Michael, that it's been an impressive year, one of the best in a long time. It's just been going from strength to strength, especially with the writing of Dan Jurgens and Peter J. Tomasi and Patrick Gleason on the other side of things as well. They've just been doing a stellar job, I think, on the comic books. I enjoyed Justice League. I'm on the record as saying that I thought the movie was great. And as a Superman fan, I especially enjoyed it. That was good. And I agree with you, Scotty. That was one of my favorite parts of the movie, was that line from Superman and Batman. I thought that was pretty cool. People in the chat room say I'm cutting out a little bit. Just let me know, guys, if that's the case for you guys.
A little bit.
Yeah, I've been noted. I was just asking Michael if it was happening on his end or just with me. But yeah, you seem to be a bit choppy.
Okay, well, hopefully that improves. I'm not doing anything exceptional on this side of things. I'm just uploading whatever, so hopefully. TV, Supergirl has been an improvement on season two. And yeah, as far as the Superman homepage is concerned, we've just powered along and done what we've done for a number of years now. And I think, we're all better for it. So we thank everyone for continuing to follow us online.
I think it's always the fan, the people that come to the homepage that make it worth it. Even the commenters.
Agreed. Now, speaking of the Justice League movie, it's been an interesting week with the first 3 minutes of the film at naver.com, N-A-V-E-R, the thing is, the film hasn't been released digitally or on Blu-ray or DVD until February, I think, is any time frame that we're looking at for the US and the rest of the world. But fans in Korea don't have to wait at all, because it's now available digitally for download as of December 19th. And as a way of promoting that digital release, Naver.com posted the first 3 minutes of the film in full 1080p quality. And as you know, the first 3 minutes of the movie include that smartphone footage of Superman at a fire, and then the little boys who are filming him doing an impromptu interview via their smartphone.
Yeah, that's. I'm kind of surprised that they're. I mean, is it coming out on like home? I say home video. That's kind of a funny thing to say, actually, when you think about it. Is that something that's coming out like on their home video market out there, or is it just a way to want to get people to go see the movie?
No, it's an actual video download, digital release available to them.
That's really weird. I'm wondering what the I'm just puzzled over the distribution deal on that, I guess, is what I'm ultimately saying.
It's a weird one.
It seems, too, that it's, including that footage, is almost hurts you if you're trying to explain to people that this movie is good and worth seeing, because that's probably the most glaring example of the mustache being removed. He looked like a mutant in that cell phone footage. So I'm surprised that that's what they chose. And like Michael said, I don't even know why they chose any kind of 3 minutes to give to people. I'm not really sure what the plan is there or what they're trying to accomplish with that. In fact, wasn't it announced what its final take was going to be and that it's done?
Not sure if it's actual, well, there's presumptions of what its final take will be. I think it's still out in various markets, still out here in Australia on, so I don't know. I think people are projecting what it will be, but I don't think anyone knows for sure. But it's a weird, it's an exact 3 minutes and it cuts out right at the end of the Batman scene. So it's kind of strange, and I agree that video footage it's not very good promotion as far as, you know, the digital quality of the removal of Henry's moustache. It looks weird, and it's not the best couple of minutes to be showing as a way of enticing people to, you know, download this, this for home video release.
I mean, to be fair, I couldn't believe that the movie started with Superman. I was thrilled when I was in the theater because for years now, and I don't know if you guys feel the same way, since Man of Steel and as we've progressed through the movies, I've felt like Superman has kind of been kicked to the side, left to the wayside, and I don't know if that's Snyder, I don't know if that's the studio, I don't know who that is, and I don't know if it's Whedon who decided to make him the star again, but the idea that he's so important to the league that he starts the movie even though he's dead and we see him, the very first person that we see, I couldn't believe it. I was shocked. I did not expect that at all.
Yeah, I agree with Scotty on that, that it was one of those moments where, and this may sound a little strange, but for me it was a really great way to keep me from clocking time until Superman actually appears. Like, they give me Superman right up front. So I'm like, good, he's there. And I've seen him, and I've seen him in costume. And, yeah, that face is a little weird, but I like what's behind the scene, the kind of feeling they're trying to give me. And now I don't have to sit here and look at my watch. Now I can kind of enjoy the movie. And then, you know, since Superman kind of dominates the movie on a thematic level anyways, it was just it's both a good way to start it and a bad way to start it, if that makes any sense.
Exactly. It was pleasing for me to be able to see Superman straight up front right after the opening credits. And in the chat room, John is asking what happened to the black suit. Well, we hear that it was filmed. I think we spoke about this last week. The cinematographer said that there had been footage of the black suit, whether or not Henry Cavill was wearing it or was just in the background, but it didn't make the final cut of the film, and I don't think it suffered for it. I think it was something that comic book fans would be looking forward to or looking for, but I don't think that it was necessarily something that needed to be in the film or that general moviegoers would have actually necessarily appreciated. I don't think it was. I think we've seen enough dark Superman personally.
I'm just annoyed at the kind of a friend of mine came up with an interesting term today that I saw on Facebook, and it's entertilement or entertitlement, yeah, where people feel like they're entitled to what they want, like to the point of doing, you know, petitions and stuff like that. So I'm glad I haven't seen a put the black suit back in the movie petition. I guess is my ultimate point on that one.
Cool. All right. Well, let's move on and look at Superman the movie. It was added to the National Film Registry this week. It's interesting because we actually had put up a promotion asking fans to go vote on this film months ago, and here we are having the announcement from the Librarian of Congress, Carla Hayden, who announced the list of films that were included in the National Film Registry for the Library of Congress, and the 1978 film Superman the Movie was amongst that list. There were 25 motion pictures selected for their cultural, historic, and or aesthetic importance, and other films that you may know of are La Bamba, Die Hard, and another Richard Donner film, The Goonies. And Richard Donner, in having heard about the fact that two of his films had been included in the National Film Registry, said, "I thank the National Film Registry for choosing Superman the Movie and The Goonies as films to be treasured. They are both special films in my life, as was the cast and crew for both. It's wonderful to see them listed amongst so many great films.
Well, I just think it proves the point that the Goonies are good enough.
No, they are good enough.
Yeah. Thank you for backing me up on that.
Yeah, I took your joke there.
No, I mean, the only thing that kind of, and it's not like it annoyed me or anything, but the text for the movie being added was a little insulting to the source material. It was just like, you know, no longer a silly thing that, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wait a second. I love Superman the movie, but Lex Luthor is campy as all get out in that film. And Otis just, you know, he's literally the bumbling assistant. So let's not pretend that there aren't goofy elements to this wonderful representation of Superman. So I don't know. Mm. I just get put out when it seems like they have to put down the comics to make the movie sound better. And I don't think you need to do that.
You know, they've been doing that for quite some time with comic book movies. And I think it probably did start with that film where, because of the Batman series in the 60s, that's kind of the way people looked at comic books, even though, you know, with the exception of most of the Silver Age, and then a comic book here and there that kind of pays homage to the Silver Age, there's a lot of serious drama that happens in comics, and people oftentimes take them as jokey kind of things akin to the Batman series, so that when Superman the movie came out, there was this big surprise that it could be taken somewhat seriously. But you are right, Gene Hackman and Ned Beatty are out of their minds in that movie in terms of camp. And I mean, they are the comic relief, and I still quote many of both of their lines, but they're not serious at all.
No, exactly. But it's fantastic that the film's getting the recognition in that way. It's something we've been calling for from a fan point of view, I guess, feather in the hat for the character and the movie itself.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, on an interesting, if not somewhat controversial story note, there was a tweet by Katie Lotz, who plays White Canary in DC's Legends of Tomorrow. There was a video footage of Daniel Day Kim, who was at the Asian American Awards, where he was on the red carpet and took off his glasses, and having seen the footage of that particular moment, Katie Lotz commented that she'd love to see Daniel Day Kim cast as Superman, and that kind of created a bit of a Twitterverse storm, where everyone started jumping on the bandwagon or commenting on that particular suggestion. Even Daniel Day Kim himself came out and said, "Look, yeah, thanks for that, Katie, and another woman called Chloe Bennett for the suggestion. Superman is one of my favorites, he also says he's a big Henry Cavill fan." Although he spells Henry Cavill incorrectly, he says, "But yeah, we really could use a big screen Asian superhero, couldn't we?" Now, look, I'm not against any kind of racial casting of any kind of, you know, these kinds of things. Superman looks a particular way. We've had this comment many times between you and I, Scotty, you and I, Michael, about James Olsen on Supergirl and the casting of Mikhail Brooks in that role and all that kind of thing. But look, I just don't see him in the role, and I'm not saying anyone should suggest that he'd be replacing Henry Cavill. Heaps of people came out, including myself, saying, yeah, why not do it as Jin Lu and Yang's new Superman, the Asian Chinese Superman from that comic book series. But really, this is a storm in a teacup, isn't it?
Aren't most arguments like this on Twitter? I mean, and And I'm not saying that representation isn't important, because it's something that that I do consider to be extremely important in mass entertainment. And I think the idea of casting a Asian actor or an African American actor as Superman, it's always something that, you know, you almost don't want to talk about, because if you say, well, I want him to stay how he has been for, you know, 80, now almost 80 years, you know, you can get kind of tagged as being either from anything from culturally insensitive to an outright racist. Mm-hmm. Even though there's specific reasons why I think that, you know, think that way. But what I think this guy was trying to get in front of this by, in his response, saying, you know, I love Superman, I love Henry Cavill, and we need more Asian superheroes, not saying I want to play Superman.
Yeah.
And I think having a new Superman, you know, movie, or putting him into an episode of Supergirl or whatever would be a great idea. But it's the fervor over these things that just put me off. It's just, you know, having a reasonable conversation about any of this is out the window in about 5 minutes. Because then suddenly 1,000 people are jumping into the conversation, and I can't even keep up with it at that point.
I think giving it 5 minutes is being generous. But I think – here's what I think. People seem to say things that they think are culturally – important right now to make a statement on. And I don't know if that's what Katie Lotz was doing. Maybe she feels genuinely that way, but most people that I meet on the street don't give two licks who plays what superhero character or whatever. She's involved with DC, so she may be more aware of Superman or who might be cast as Superman or who she might like as Superman. I tend to doubt that most actors on shows are fans of superheroes in general or know about Superman or anybody else. She's playing a role. She's on a show. I think she saw it, thought it was cute that he took his glasses off, and it reminded her of Clark Kent changing into Superman. And then she either just said it as a one-off remark or was trying to make a statement on diversity and how she's for it. And I know that a lot of people try to make themselves sound like they're for it and try to make themselves sound like they're on board with whatever culturally relevant thing is happening right now. And as both of you have said, diversity is super important. And we are, I do see changes happening. I do see characters showing up more often that are a diverse group. You know, there's a lot of things that are going on that are very positive in terms of more roles for women, more roles for gay characters, more roles for people of color. So I think it's great, but I don't know that she really believes that should be the next step right now, or if she was just trying to create a stir. But of course it did, and that's the kind of thing that happens. And I think that Daniel Day-Kim, as you said, said kind of the right things, but I don't know that it's a terrible thing that anybody said, or that anybody said the wrong thing in terms of, I think you should be cast as this, or I'd like to see this. I guess it could be said that it's forward thinking, or that it's cool. You know, he has some of the look of what Superman would have. So I could see it happening. And as far as the new Superman book, I see this mentioned in other articles, and then you mentioned it now. I did not even know that this book was still being published, and I'm being a little bit sarcastic, but is it really selling? I expected that to be gone within – I know it's still out, but I thought it would be gone within a few issues.
No, it's still going.
I think it has a –
Yeah, go ahead, Michael.
Oh, go ahead, Steve. I think – and it's something we talked about a couple of weeks ago. I think the trade numbers on that are justifying its continued publication. I think it's doing a lot better as a trade paperback and in the graphic novel market, because then the audience for the author, you have a little bit better cross promotion putting it into a bookstore than a comic book store. So unless I'm wrong, unless something's come out that is against that, Steve.
No, I was just going to say it's actually doing well enough that it's kind of into the next phase of the price title change, being called New Superman and the Chinese Justice League along those lines from solicitations. So it's doing well enough, it's continuing on and branching out. You know, we've had the Superwoman cancellation happen, and yet New Superman continues on. And to be fair, it's actually not a bad storyline. You know, it has included the Superman, Batman, and other Justice League characters of the DC Universe, as well as the Chinese versions of those characters. And it's not a bad story. I've actually been enjoying it. And it lived out its life longer than I anticipated. And like you said, I thought it would have gone by now. But it's powering on and you know, not doing badly. So it's here to stay for a little bit longer, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, I seriously need to catch up on it. I'm on issue 3.
Okay, fair enough. Well, it's still powering along. Okay, well, moving on to other Superman movie news. Not so much Superman, but Justice League and The Flash. Warner Brothers Home Entertainment has announced that Lego DC Superheroes The Flash animated movie will be coming out on Blu-ray and DVD March 13th, 2018, and digitally on February 13th, 2018. And it's just an expansion of that Lego animated universe. And Superman and Lois Lane do appear in this, but it is basically a Flash movie.
I'm wondering why the Flash. I mean, I know the TV show's in its fourth season, and he's recently been in, you know, the Justice League film. But it seems weird that with Superman turning 80 next year that we wouldn't have a Superman Lego film, unless there's some reason they can't do that.
Yeah, I don't know.
No,
I've been surprised. I was surprised myself to see that The Flash was next. Again, I go back to what I said earlier. I have felt downtrodden as a Superman fan for quite some time in terms of the way he kind of gets pushed to the back burner. The announcement of the films that are coming up, still no talk about a Man of Steel sequel. Who even knows what's happening in terms of Superman in the DC Extended Universe? Of course, I don't think many of us know what's happening in terms of soft reboot, hard boot, reboot, where they're going, what's going to happen now at this point. But I would have liked to have seen, I don't watch the Lego superhero movies, but that Superman would be the next guy. Batman's had a few already. And then we had a grouping, I guess, and it would have been nice to see Superman, but maybe that's biased from a Superman point of view standpoint. When is the first part of The Death of Superman supposed to be releasing? Is that anytime soon?
I think third quarter 2018.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, it's a fair way away.
Well, it's still it is in the next year, so at least that's another, if it is in 2018, that is a Superman movie to look forward to.
Indeed. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. We're about the halfway point of tonight's program, and then we're going to come back on the other side of the break and do the segments, the big question segment, the super secret soundbite segment with Scotty and I. So back just after these messages.
What will happen now? We'll know more in a moment when we return for the exciting climax of today's episode. So stand by.
You're listening to the Radio KAL Live Talkback Show from SupermanHomepage.com.
Up in the sky.
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
No, it's SupermanHomepage.com, the number one Superman fan site in the world. SupermanHomepage.com, covering the world of Superman from the 1930s to today. News, reviews, rumors, and reports. SupermanHomepage.com for all your Superman comics, TV shows, movies, cartoons, radio shows, and more. Everything you ever wanted to know about the Man of Steel and more. SupermanHomepage.com.
Superman. Man, am I glad to see you.
What are you doing on this deserted road?
Some guys from school drove out here and we're going to start fooling around with drugs. When I told them all drugs do is mess up your head and get you in a lot of trouble, they kicked me out of the van and drove off.
You're right not to get involved in the drug scene. Nobody with any sense wants any part of it.
How do I get home?
That's no problem at all.
This is John Hames Newton, and you're listening to Radio KAL Live, brought to you by SupermanHomepage.com.
And we're back on Radio KAL Live, where our guest call-in number is 714-242-6186. That's 714-242-6186. Or you can click on the little Skype icon to be part of tonight's show on supermanhomepage.com/live. We should get a little bit of time towards the end of the program to have a chat with some callers. But we are now going to move on to the regular monthly segments that we do with Scotty and I. And let's start with the big question.
Let's start with the big question.
Last month's big question was, what did you think of the Crisis on Earth X crossover event on the CW? And Alex R. wrote, although I feel like a few of the shows are nearing or past their sell-by date, I enjoy the ambition and creativity of the crossover this past year. However, just like Felicity ruined Arrow, I feel like she ruined the end of the crossover. It encapsulates heart of these shows when, in the same episode, something exciting happens, something infuriating also occurs. Maybe this is the biggest they can ever be, and maybe some shows like Arrow and Legends need to end. Thawne also made no sense.
Well, thank you, Alex. Not a big Felicity fan, obviously.
You know what's weird is I hear a lot of people complain about Felicity, and I think part of it stems from the idea that Arrow is supposed to be with Black Canary and canon, you know. But I kind of have always liked the Felicity Oliver relationship, although just like with Smallville or whatever, each person acts kind of annoyingly at times. But I'm on the other side of that. I think I'm one of the few.
There you go. John Van Pelt. Sorry, go, Michael.
Yeah, I don't get the Felicity hate. It just strikes me as something that fans of Arrow, it seems to be one of those things that just unites them. And it's like their go-to criticism of the show. And I think she is absolutely adorable. So I can't really complain about it.
Absolutely.
Well, there you go. John Van Pelt, who's one of our live listeners and he's listening to the program right now, he wrote in saying, I can't not tell how much I love this year. Four-way, two-night crossover event called Crisis on Earth X. I thought on how they started, and they went from a black and white screen to color, to which we use today. I really enjoy seeing one of Superman's villains, Metallo. I knew it was him by the kryptonite heart. Seeing Captain Cold playing the hero for the second time was sweet. He says, I like not only how Barry Allen, the Flash, got married in the end, but also Green Arrow, Oliver Queen. That was a nice twist. It was sad to see Dr. Martin Stein die on DC's Legends of Tomorrow, and we all know how hard it was for Jackson moving forward without Stein. Finally, it was nice to see Supergirl pay tribute to the Christopher Reeve Superman 2 quote, asking General Zod to step outside, and giving this Earth X crossover a 5 out of 5, he says, and I can't wait to see what's in store for next year's crossover. Well, thank you, John.
Yeah, it sounds like he liked quite a bit of it.
Yeah, indeed.
I do like when they pay homage to the... they've done it with Man of Steel, where she was punching through the sky as Henry Cavill's Superman was punching Zod through the sky in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I like when they do those kind of, little things. And it was unfortunate to lose Stein. I had heard that he was planning on leaving the show a little earlier, so it wasn't that much of a surprise, but unfortunate.
Yes, indeed.
Hector wrote, I loved it. All four episodes were perfect and also a heartbreaker in the death of Martin Stein. It broke my heart. I hope they continue to do more crossovers.
Well, thank you, Hector. He has the same feelings about Martin Stein's passing in that crossover. And finally, we have Henry Bernstein, who wrote in saying it was excellent. I hate to say it because I really love Justice League, but it sort of was everything Justice League could have or should have been. I thought there was no way smart, sweet, kind, adorable Melissa Benoist could pull off being a big bad, but damn girl, she can act. I liked how it felt like one big movie and how every episode didn't rely on that show's particular character. He says, what do you think they should do for next year's crossover? P.S. Where can I find Benoist singing Run Home to You? Well, I actually found a clip. If you look on YouTube, you'll find video clips from the episode, and I'm posting in the Flash chat room right now a link to the YouTube video clip that I found of her singing that, which I guess you can grab the audio from if you're really that keen. But she also sang it as a duo with Flash musical crossover episode between her and Grant Gustin doing a duo of that particular song, which was released on soundtrack of that particular crossover back a few months ago.
I thought that maybe I'm remembering wrongly, but I thought it was Barry singing to Iris on his show.
You might be right.
That song. But I guess. Yeah. Next month's new big question is what Superman Christmas presents did you receive?
Yes, Christmas is just a few days away, and if you celebrate particular festive day, then let us know if you received any Superman Christmas presents. This time next month, we'll be chatting again with Scotty V, and we want to hear your what presents you got, what Superman-related presents you received this Christmas. Get involved with the Big Question segment of our show. You'll find the Big Question feedback form on the Superman homepage. You'll find Radio KL Live under the Favorites menu, and you'll find the feedback form right there. So get involved with the Big Question segment of our show. All right, let's move into the super secret soundbite, and I will just find the little, where is it? Here we go.
Only one thing alive with less than four legs can hear this frequency, Superman, and that's you.
Last month's sound came from the Justice League movie. How about that? And here it is again.
Yes, let's hear that sound again for anybody who didn't hear it.
I believe in truth. But I'm also a big fan of justice.
Well, there you go. That was Henry Cavill, Superman, saying that in the Justice League movie. And we had four people guess it right. Who were they, Scotty?
We had Rick Lee James, Mike Cucciarello, Todd Anderson, and Hector.
Well done to those four people for guessing where in the world of Superman that sound came from. I've obviously seen the movie. Well, here is the new Super Secret Soundbite. Let's see if those four people and more can guess where in the world of Superman this new sound comes from.
Merry Christmas, everyone. This is Lois Lane with the latest WGBS inside story of how Superman saved the life of the president and prevented World War III in what will probably go down as one of the greatest Christmas events.
Well, there you go. If you think you know where in the world of Superman that particular sound comes from, then use the Super Secret Soundbite entry form at the Superman homepage website and send your entry in. Each person who guesses it right will have their name read out here on Radio KAL Live. Any ideas, guys, without giving it away?
Oh, I know exactly where that's from.
I do not. I am at a loss, but I heard Michael laughing, so I figured he knew right away.
Yeah,
well,
it's esoteric. Let me put it to you that way. It's what I guess they would call a deep cut. In terms of finding that. So good job, Steve.
Well, thank you, Michael. Yeah, so that's the super secret soundbite for this month. Let's see if a topical one, but let's see if anyone can guess where in the world that came from when we do this segment again at the end of January. Well, they are the segments that we do on a regular basis with Scotty. So well done. Let's move on with the rest of the show, and we have Action Comics 993. We haven't spoken about comic books for a couple of weeks because we've just been so caught up with everything happening with the Justice League movie, with the Crisis on Earth X crossover. So let's get back on track with the comic book side of things. Scotty, obviously you're not caught up with the Superman comic books, but Michael, Action 993, your thoughts?
I'd love to give them to you, but I actually have been so busy with work this week that even though I've had this book, I didn't get a chance. And let me tell you, it's rough because it's Dan Juergens both writing and doing the pencils.
Mm-hmm.
And just about every Superman fan friend that I have on social media has tagged me in something about this. So I did get caught up on Superman. So I got through the end of the Imperious Lex storyline. But this one just kind of escaped me. So I guess I'll have to come back to it at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, well, as you said, Dan Juergens writing and drawing, not just Superman, but his creation Booster Gold as well. And it's the part one of the Booster Shot saga, which will be taking place over the next couple of weeks. And Superman tries to go back in time. Obviously, we have this whole thing of Mr. Oz declaring that he is his father, Jor-El. And while every kind of test Superman's kind of tried to figure this out, has, you know, shown that he may be telling the truth, Superman figures the only way to kind of find out for sure is to go back in time to the very moment just before Krypton exploded to see what happened there, if Jor-El was indeed pulled out from that destruction and then saved. And
Just go back in time.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a comic book, obviously. And yeah, Booster is trying to stop Superman from doing something that will, you know, break the time, space-time continuum, as Dr. Emmett Brown would like to say. So it's an interesting kind of setup issue, but it's a cool start to this new storyline, and looking forward to see where things will go from here on in.
I'm looking forward to it, personally. I'm just looking forward to everything involving Superman next year, though.
Well, looking at next year, March 2018, the solicitations came out this week from DC Comics, and looking at the Superman side of things, there is a lot to look forward to, including Action Comics 999, and there's also a new Boizarro storyline taking place in Superman number 42 that just looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's funny, the thing I noticed the most was the absence of something in these solicitations. There was only one issue of Action. And after, you know, over a year of having two per month, and that missing issue is Action 1000. I was wondering what was happening. And that, that question was answered very quickly.
Yes. According to Newsarama, Action Comics number 1000 has been put back, delayed, to be released on April 18th. Now, why April 18th, you might ask? Well, it just so happens that Action Comics number 1 back in 1938 was released on April 18th. So here we are, 80 years to the day that Action Comics 1000 will be released on April 18th. So I guess timing-wise, it was something that they felt was important for a bit of synergy there. So we'll be a couple of weeks without an Action Comics issue, but they're doing big plans, big celebration anniversary stuff for the 80th anniversary of Superman with Action Comics 1000 now being released April 18th. Scotty, what do you make of this delay? Is it a good thing? Is it, you know, just to have that kind of synergy of it falling on the exact day 80 years later, is it worth the wait?
Boy, I remember when I was growing up as a small copy boy in the hills of Saskatchewan back in April of 1938, how exciting it was to see the first issue of Superman. And now, 80 years later, as a slightly older copy boy growing up in the hills of Saskatchewan, I feel very excited to see that we're reaching Action 1000 and that it's being released in April to coincide. Of course, it's a good thing. Most delays we seem to complain about because it seems like, I don't know if it's not professional or if you just expect when a date is announced that they have enough people working on it that they'll get it done, But then we complain if they get a second artist to come in to get it done on time. So that's no good either. But in this case, I think whether they're lying or not, the idea that they're delaying it for a month to coincide with the release. And what I mean when I say they're lying is, was it really going to be delayed because it's so big and they just weren't ready to release it yet? And it just so happens to coincide, but it seems a little coincidental that that would have happened. So I think that they're delaying it to the good and for a good reason.
I'm wondering, though, because, you know, if we're going to discuss rumor mill, there is a rumor that Brian Michael Bendis's first story for DC will be in Action 1000. And he had a bit of a health scare and was in the hospital for a while, a week or two back. And DC said, you know, it's fine, you know, take your time, get better. The job's here, you know, when you're better. But I'm wondering if they're maybe trying to give him some time to recuperate, and it just so happened that, you know, pushing it off a month gives them that extra oomph. But that's just all conjecture on my part. That's not any inside information that I actually possess.
Yeah, he's a poor guy. Was really stricken down with a health scare. He says on Twitter, I follow him now, and he's actually following the Superman homepage, but he spent 16 days in hospital, two visits to the ICU, MRSA, sepsis, blind for 4 days, but he's going home. We went home today, and thanks everyone for the love and support that he received, and especially his wife, who he says saved his life twice. And yeah, he's obviously been through the mill. So glad to hear that he's on the repair and that he's back home, and power through to getting him on this, you know, doing whatever he's doing for DC Comics, if that is indeed with Superman or not. Michael, you just saw that you liked a tweet that we retweeted from Peter J. Tomasi, who said, "And so it begins," with the hashtag Action 1000, and he's posted a little photo there of a 15-page story that he's writing with the kind of text saying, "This is a simple yet epic story, a story of one man battling through," and then we can't read the rest of it.
Yeah, I saw that and I got a little excited. My first year of reading the Superman books was, you know, I started in the spring of 1987. So in that first year, I got to be there for Action 600. And that was such a big deal to me. I got it for my 12th birthday. My sister Mary bought it for me because I actually had a birthday that year because it was a leap year. And that night, they showed that special on NBC hosted by Dana Carvey that's on that big 14-disc set. So Action 600 meant a lot to me, and because of that, all of the centennial issues are huge. 900 is why I actually started reading the Superman books again after stepping away for 10 months. So getting to Action 1000, I mean, this is in the 80th year, and they're treating it right, and not only releasing the issue, but a companion book full of essays and an unused Jerry Siegel, Joe Shuster Superman story. I mean, sign me up. I mean, seriously. No, seriously, DC, send us free copies. That would be really nice.
That would be really nice. I'm interested to see if in the coming year with Brian Michael Bendis, if there will be any stories involving clones. That's an inside joke. I don't know that anybody else
knows. What he's going to do... I figured it all out. What he's going to do is he's going to completely disassemble the Justice League. He's going to put them back together again, which is going to lead into a giant civil war amongst the heroes. And then the Durlans are going to invade. So you have these shapeshifters. I know this is a bold concept, but you have shapeshifters taking over other heroes. And it's just going to be epic.
I like epic. That sounds pretty original, too.
Cool. All right. Well, let's see what happens. And just quickly, while we're talking about things that are coming next year, I haven't seen an official announcement, but a couple of websites are announcing that the Krypton TV series has been announced as premiering in March 2018 on the Sci-Fi Channel. So we'll wait for an official announcement from Sci-Fi to confirm that, but it seems like it's doing the rounds at the moment. March 2018 for the Krypton TV series debut.
I should probably watch those trailers.
Yes, good idea. I think you'll be excited. I'm looking forward to this particular TV series. All right, let's take a caller. We have someone waiting online. It's our regular caller in Mark Lax. Probably a good time to bring him on before we get too far towards the end of the show. Welcome, Mark.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, thanks. What's on your mind this week?
Well, first, hey, Scotty, nice to talk to you.
Hello, you too.
You're discussing the year of Superman, and this, you know, this was a great year. And the coming year, I mean, I don't know how much farther they're going to go past, you know, 1,000 as far as how much more Superman stuff we're going to get. It is his 80th. I see in the solicitations there's mounds and mounds of Batman stuff that's still going on. He's in this book and that book and all his offshoot books. And, you know, of course, yes, Superman does have, obviously, there's Super Sons. We have Supergirl, Superwoman is ending. But I would like to see a little bit more, you know, Superman miniseries, Superman special, Superman Elseworld, or whatever you want to call it now. That I would love to see. But still, you know, as the summer goes on, and don't forget we have Doomsday Clock 2, and we don't know what's going to happen towards the end of that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there'll be a little bit more stuff. At least I hope so, because it is his 80th. But you know, I'm looking forward to that. I'm happy with I'm really happy with what we've been getting. I mean, I read the Action Comics issue, and it was a lot of fun. I mean, to see Dan Jurgens writing Superman and Booster Gold again was great, and it was a fun issue, and I love anything time travel and Superman, so this should be, you know, an interesting story. And the ending to the Imperious Lex I really enjoyed. I wonder now if Lex is going to go away from the side of the Angels, as he seemed to kind of be on, you know, sort of being the other hero of Metropolis. Now I don't know. But we'll have to see. I think he plays a big part also in Doomsday Clock. So we'll see how this all runs out. It's been a lot of fun. You know, this past year's been really good. I know there's one or two stories have been a little hard on it. You know, the Odds Effect story was not my favorite, and the Black Dawn one was not my all-time favorite. But basically, the books have consistently been really good, entertaining. You know, they really seem to be going in a certain direction, and this is the year, this is going to be the year of Superman. So
yeah.
we'll see what happens. You know, I'm just kind of excited about everything. So we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's cool to see. You just kind of reminded me, talking about, you know, Batman stuff and Superman and the solicitations and that, just looking at the covers with the new DC Universe graphic that they've got there in the box in the left corner, top left corner of each comic book. And the logo underneath, obviously Superman's comics have got the Superman logo. The Justice League comic has got the Justice League movie logo, which is kind of cool. But I was noticing that Injustice 2 has a Batman logo. Like, it's a Batman story, which kind of surprised me. I thought that they could have just put either a DC logo or an Injustice logo or something of the kind. The Trinity book also has the Justice League logo, which is interesting. I thought they might have used a Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman combined logo that they've done in the past for, you know, Trinity books. But interesting choice there that they use the Batman logo on the Injustice book.
Well, he's there. I love Batman just as anyone else does. I'm a big Batman fan. Love the movies. Love everything. But I mean, of course, Superman is the top. So that, you know, that goes beyond that, and to me, he's really the face of the company, but they don't seem to be doing that. They keep going towards Batman, and hey, if Batman sells and he's more successful and he's more the hero that people really like, and that's fine. You know, again, I love Batman, but it's just there's just 20 Batman books out every month. You know,
I haven't read many of the Injustice books myself, but I did play the first Injustice game. And even though Superman comes in and saves the day at the end, it's kind of Batman's story in terms of overthrowing the tyrant Superman in the other universe. And so if that continues in two, that might be why he's featured. If he's the guy fighting against the regime in the alternate universe, it might still be his story by that way.
Well, I've been reading and keeping up with it. I mean, Batman is obviously there, but he doesn't seem to be the main character anymore. So it was an interesting choice, I thought. But we've got to let you go, Mark. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for being a big follower of the show in 2017. It's been a pleasure having you on the show nearly every week.
Thanks, guys. And I just want to wish everyone happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, happy whatever. You know, enjoy yourselves, and I'll talk to you next year.
Thanks, Mark.
You too. Again. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
That was Mark Lax, who's been a great part of the show in 2017. Now, before we do kind of head off to the end of this show, DC announced that they're going to be in DC. Funnily enough, there's a new big thing called DC in DC on Martin Luther King Jr. weekend. The DC Comics, Warner Brothers Television, and Warner Brothers Home Entertainment will be teaming up for DC in DC, a landmark pop culture event, it says, that brings together the worlds of entertainment and public service to illuminate the story of America and current issues through the lens of comics and superheroes. This will take place January 12th and January 13th at the Newseum in DC. And people like Greg Berlanti, Sarah Schechter from the CW TV shows, along with comic book writers and artists like Jim Lee, Shauna Benson, Shea Fontana, Mariko Tamaki, and, of course, Jeff Johns will also be in attendance. So if this is something you're interested in, DCindc2018.com is the website to go to for more details. But, look, that brings us towards the end of the show. As Mark said, it's been a great year, and I want to thank both you, Michael, and you, Scotty, for being a part of this show. It's been a real pleasure being able to do this on a weekly basis with you, Michael, and to have you on the show on a monthly basis. Scotty, thank you both for the input and everything you do for the Superman homepage.
Well, thanks for having me, Steve and Michael. Great to come on with you. And it's always fun to chat about, you know, the hero we're all, I guess, slave to.
Oh, it's I always get a little sad this time of year that we take the time off, and at the same time, it's nice to be able to take a little time off. But no, one of the true joys of being part of the Superman homepage nowadays is that I get to do this on a weekly basis with Steve and get to chat with Scotty, which should probably happen more often anyway. So I hope you guys just have a really Merry Christmas, and I hope everybody really just enjoys their holiday season.
Yeah, indeed. So on behalf of everyone at the Superman homepage, all the staff, all the guys that contribute, all the girls that contribute, we want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and a Super New Year. We hope you have had an enjoyable time being part of the Superman homepage in 2017. We've enjoyed being able to bring you all the stuff around Superman, Supergirl, and the Justice League movie this year. We hope you've enjoyed it. And we look forward to 2018, which will be the 80th anniversary of Superman as a character. So we hope that you'll stick with us and be part of the Superman homepage in the new year. We'll be taking a couple of weeks off, as Michael has just said. We will announce the next time Radio KL will go live on the Superman homepage website soon. We'll just kind of work out those dates. But we hope you've enjoyed the show. We hope you enjoy the couple of weeks break. And we'll see you in the new year. Thanks again, everyone, for being part of the Superman homepage. Remember to head to the website for all your daily updates on everything relating to Superman.
Hello, everyone. This is Superman, bringing you best wishes for a very Merry Christmas from Lois Lane, Perry White, Jimmy Olsen, and myself.